the vibes. Welcome back to a very, very special edition of the Hoop Genius podcast. And today I am honored to be joined by three of the people I respect most in the, not just the basketball world, in the entire world itself. You might be familiar with them. On one hand, we've got, you know, for how many years was it? 4 years? My daily co-host, Mr. BJ Armstrong. We have the man who I described on a weekly basis as the GM extraordinaire, who now he has to prove it, Mr. Scott Perry. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of pressure, exactly. Wow.
And we have, of course, the legendary coach, Brendan Sir. And, you know, I've been wanting to do this episode for a while. We had to find the right time. These guys have been busy. If you guys didn't know, the reason BJ and Scott departed from the show a little bit earlier than expected last season was because they got hired in Sacramento by the Kings organization, where Scott is the general manager and BJ is the assistant general manager. And Coach Sir kindly decided to step in and fill their shoes. And here we are now at a full circle moment, kind of a handover episode of sorts. A lot of you guys out there were worried if the podcast was going away and what was going to happen. You know, a lot of people were worried, Scott. They said, Mo, the Kings need a point guard. I heard that they're looking at you to be that starting point guard option. Are you still going to do the podcast? I said, don't worry, guys. I'm still going to be here. Me and Coach Sir are going to be rocking out. But before we get into the episode, I want to start with this. You know, a lot of people ask me, they say, Mo, how did you convince some of the greatest minds of the basketball world to do a show with you? And I understand the question. You know, it's not every day that an individual like myself, who grew up in the UK of all places, gets to speak to such influential individuals on a daily basis. And I say, you know, I didn't have to convince them of anything, because if there are two things I know about Scott Perry and BJ Armstrong, the first one is that these two gentlemen, they love and respect the game of basketball more than anyone I've ever met, in the same way that I do as well. And the second thing is that these two gentlemen are not afraid of hard work. You guys don't understand the level of dedication it takes to do a daily show across a 7-8 hour time zone difference, you know, and then things happen, trades happen, and we have to do an episode in the middle of the night. You know, these guys are canceling date night with their wives, and the wives are mad at me because they're staying in to record a podcast episode. You know, so those are the two things that I really admire about these guys, and that's what we connected on, and that was the foundation of the show. Love and respect for the game and hard work. So Sacramento Kings fans, you're in good hands. Trust me. But gentlemen, that's enough talking from me. How have you been? How's life over there on the other side?
Hey, Mo, it's been great. As you mentioned, a lot of hard work, man, but I'm getting the opportunity to do this with my guy, BJ Armstrong, who we've known one another since, oh, I don't want to date us too bad, too far back, but since, but a long, long time back to childhood days, let's just put it that way. And, but it's been awesome. You know, we've got a big task ahead of us, but we're up to it, and we're taking every single day as the most important day. Just happy where we're at right now. And still got a lot of work ahead of us, but it's great to be back on with you, Mo, because, you know, we pay homage to you just about every day. Anytime we have a meeting, you know, a lot of times I like to start, you know, the vibes. and that kicks us off in a great mood. So, Mo, you are here with us more than you realize.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's good.
Mr. Armstrong. How have you been? The people have been missing you.
You know, and I miss the people. And this is a full circle moment. And, you know, just being here, first of all, three of like my favorite people right here. And I get a chance to do this. Mo, you and I did the podcast. And what was the gentleman's name, Mo, who was a Sacramento Kings fan?
Jack.
Jack was the... And so, Jack, I know you're listening. I know you're listening, Jack, and all of the Kings fans. But no, this is great. It's been great here working in Sacramento. Of course, I get a chance to work with Scotty, and it just makes it all, you know, just incredible. You get an opportunity to work with Scott and the people here. We have some great people here in Sacramento. So We got a big task ahead of us, but it's challenging. It's fun. Every day is a new challenge. Mo, I don't have the crazy hours. Mo calling me 12, 1 in the morning saying, "Hey, there's been a trade
I
happening."
still be calling.
Exactly.
We just don't record
Mo,
it.
ladies and gentlemen, Mo still calls. He hasn't realized, I'm no longer doing the podcast. He still calls. And but it's great. So and now I see Coach Sir has stepped in. So you're in good hands. You're in great hands. And we'll, hey, as Coach will say, I'll be watching. And I'll be watching on the podcast. I'll be watching, and we will be listening.
And you know what's great about being on the show, Mo, when BJ used the term full circle moment. When I started in the NBA 25 years ago, the guy on my bottom left of the screen, Coach Sir, he was the number two man in charge at the Detroit Pistons. So I reported to Brendan, and I learned a lot about the NBA in working with Coach Sir. And so it's been awesome. We built not only a great working relationship, but a friendship, that carried on much beyond our time working together in Detroit. So that's awesome to be on here with him too.
Coach
You know,
Sir,
the thing about our game is that, having Coach BJ worked with Scott, in the game of basketball, I've never worked a day in my life because I do what I love and I do it with people I love. And so that's the beauty of, that's why I know I'm jealous of these two guys, because they just get to go to work every day and they're with their, and they're with, no, they're with someone they really care about and they're doing what they love. And so the hours are insane, the amount of time that you spend together, way more than your family, not even close. But it's not work, it's passion. And that's what these guys have.
Absolutely. Well, BJ said earlier you've got a tough task on your hands. Obviously I'm friends with you gentlemen, but in my role as a media member, I have to be objective in my reporting. You guys have maybe one of the toughest tasks in all of the NBA with a franchise that has seen very little success over my lifetime. I don't know about you guys, maybe you saw a bit more before I came along, but as long as I've been alive, the Kings have not been a franchise that, people expect to be contending in a year-on-year basis. And I know you two and how competitive you are personally. And I know that can't go on for much longer. What have you tried to do? Scott, your press conference when you introduced yourself as the general manager might have gone a little bit viral with, some edits that were made out there. But what is the kind of philosophy and the culture that you're trying to bring to Sacramento, and how have you implemented that so far in what you're doing?
Well, you use that word culture, Mo. And I think if you study sports in the history of sport, and whether it's basketball, football, baseball, hockey, whatever, the most important thing any organization can do is to establish an identity. Who are you going to be? How are you going to operate each and every day? So, how are we going to practice? How are we going to play? How are we going to operate as a staff? What is the identity of a Sacramento King? What does it mean to be a part of this group? So, we identified six important values for this franchise and that we're going to live by and work by every single day. And those six values are competitive, tough, team-oriented, professional, accountable, and disciplined. That's what this first year and beyond, obviously, too, but this first year is establishing that. We want, whenever you come see the Sacramento Kings play, we want to be playing extremely hard. We want to play together, and we can live with the results, whatever they may be. But that's what every day is going to be about, establishing that type of identity through living and working through those six values that I laid out. And that's for everybody in the building. And it ultimately obviously starts with me.
Just do me one favor. Just don't print those six values on the court in the paint like the Miami Heat did, because everything's gone downhill for them ever since they tried to do that, right? So.
Now you know exactly. Hey Mo, but I do have it in my office. My wife, my lovely wife, who is, like I said in the press conference, is my ride or die. She owned the art gallery and had a number of artists work for her, and they did a beautiful painting here. And it does have those six words on it, so it's awesome. So
Can I
it's a reminder to me every day.
request a commission piece? I would like
Okay,
a artwork piece for BJ's office that has four words. Real
exactly.
name, no gimmicks. Because we've not heard
Exactly.
that in a couple months.
Hey, we're gonna look into that, Mo. We're gonna get that done, Mo. So the next time we come on, you'll see
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now,
that.
you guys have had a busy summer. Coach
Yes.
Sir, let me ask you from an outsider perspective. You watched the Summer League and the Kings, you guys got to the finals, right, of the Summer League in Vegas.
Right.
Very, very good accomplishment with especially some of the draft picks, which we'll talk about soon. Coach Sir, what was your take on how the team was playing in comparison to maybe what you've seen before from the franchise?
I have a big philosophy on the Summer League in that I think it should be, if you're going to go there, you're going to invest in money in your players. I think you just need to really use it to develop and find out what you got. You really need to coach these guys. And I was lucky enough that Scott and BJ let me come to a one practice, and I was very impressed by their staff, that all their quote unquote real coaches, Doug Christie especially, and his staff, they're there and they're involved. And I just think it's so important. But I don't think anytime you step on the court, I think it's important to try to win. All this stuff about, oh, summer league and it's not important, or exhibition season's not important. I think it lays a foundation all the time. You always should play to win if you're going to play. That's just me. Not at the expense of anything else, but whoever gets a chance to get a rep, everyone they put in the game, all those kids in the summer league. But I thought they're rookies. I hate when a team just goes out there and they take a really top player and they play him 2 games. They're only out there for five. But they played their guys. They found out they had some really good rookies. They had a player, Isaac Jones, who played last year on the team, who I really liked, who really got to establish himself in the last 2 games as a dominant summer league player. I think that really helps him. He's got a little confidence now. I'm sure he's got a little bit of swagger coming into camp. And so I just think it, and it gets a chance for Doug to evaluate his coaches and things like that. And maybe, and Jack Ramsey told me 100 years ago in the summer league that he used it as a laboratory. I think it's a great time to experiment with some ideas that you might have. They might not want to show your real guys in case it doesn't work, but you can try something basketball wise in the summer league. It's a very valuable tool. And I thought the Kings, from their practice setup, which was A plus plus, through the way they competed, I thought it was outstanding.
And Las Vegas offers its fair share of, should I say, distractions. But I've been lucky enough to travel a little bit with Mr. Armstrong here, so I know the players weren't getting up to any foolishness under BJ's watchful eye. So Kings fans, you're safe. But now you guys had a very successful draft night, in my opinion, at least anyway. Can you take us behind the scenes into how that draft night went, the players that you selected, why you selected them, and what characteristics they had that you wanted to bring into the organization?
Well, going into the draft, Mo, as you may recall, we didn't have a first round pick. So when we took this job, we came in with the thought process, okay, we're drafting 42, which is our second round slot. But as Coach Sir knows, and as you know as well too, a lot goes into the draft process. You're making a lot of calls leading up to it. There were a handful of players that we identified that we thought were worthy of moving up into the first round to get. And it just so happens that there were enough teams that were trying to get off of first round picks as well. So you need that marriage to happen. So we were able to do that with OKC, who have, as we all know, has a lot of picks in the draft. So they were going to utilize them all. And my good buddy Sam Presti. And so we were able to work that out when Nick Clifford was still there on the board, and he was someone that we really valued really higher than where we had drafted him. I had done a lot of prep work for the draft. I was doing something else in the time being, as you well know, on this podcast, just getting ready for the draft at that time. And he embodied a lot of the things I just mentioned, those six values. He has a high basketball IQ, very versatile player, I think, that can play a number of positions and defend a number of positions in this league. And he brings a maturity because he's been in college for 5 years. And just as our second round pick, Maxime Renault from Stanford, He's been there 4 years. So we got two mature young guys, especially for this day and age. You talk about coming in the draft, high basketball IQ people, and they both have a passion for the game. And that's an important thing. BJ, we used to talk about this a lot on the podcast, Mo. We look for as many guys as we can that love to play. Because when you get guys that love to play, then that means they're going to put in the work. They're going to bounce back from disappointing nights or practices or whatever the case may be, because they're trying to be the very best they can at their craft. And we think we got two young guys that will maximize however good they can become. They're going to maximize it through their work and their approach and their passion for the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, both of those guys, Maxime and Neek, they have a lot of experience in college. BJ, we spoke about this a lot on the show last season and the season before about teams benefiting from selecting guys with more experience who are more ready to contribute at the NBA level. Is that what you've seen so far from working with these guys, both at the Summer League and behind the scenes at the mini camp in LA?
Yeah, they've been fantastic, and as Scotty said, you know, we feel very fortunate to be able to have an opportunity to, you know, first of all, be in position to even draft those guys. We had those guys ranked, you know, higher than they were that we were able to draft them on draft night. But you know, some nights, some years, you have an opportunity to do that, and some years you don't. But most importantly, we were prepared, and you know, we worked very hard. Scotty was working the phones, and we were there, and suddenly we had an opportunity to get, you know, two young players that we feel will have an opportunity some to contribute to our team, you know, immediately. So, but we'll see. You know, it's you never know, but at the same time, we feel very fortunate. We got two really good players, and Neek and Max, and we'll just continue to build from there.
Coach, sir, from a basketball perspective, what these guys have displayed on the court that you've seen so far, what stood out to you the most from each of the guys?
But there were young players on the Kings. I told those guys that when I first saw him, I'd love the kid from Stanford. I thought he was a first round pick, and I happened to know the Neek from Colorado State. His coach is a good friend of mine now at Minnesota, and he's been very well coached. He's mature, and he's a shot maker. And when you can make shots, you can play. The other kid is going to be a wonder. He can really shoot the ball, but he is going to be a really good player with a long career. He's got great size. He's incredibly smart. And so, again, it's about development now and opportunity for these guys. But they've got a terrific, first 7 or 8 players on the Kings squad. These guys are going to have to compete for playing time, which makes your practices better, I think, makes your team better.
And you know, we often joke on this show about BJ's dream of five 7 footers taking the court at the same time. You've got Max now, who's 7'1", so you want 7 footers. So,
Well, you can't give away all the secrets.
Well, you know, I want to say this, right? When Scott did his introductory press conference, I was absolutely shocked because he actually shouted out the Hoop Genius podcast, right? And I never thought in my life that a general manager would be talking about the podcast in their press conference. But I do have to address the elephant in the room in that, you know, Chris Haynes asked you about this in the press conference. The clip that went viral, I think Gilbert Arenas featured it on his show when we were speaking about Zach LaVine earlier, you know, I think it was last season or the season before, maybe. And you know, the thing you said about Zach having not won yet in his career, how did you address that after becoming the general manager of the team that he plays for?
Like you would expect me to, Mo, just like you just said it right there. Zach LaVine and I have a great relationship, and I deal with him and everybody in here very directly. And BJ can tell you that. When we get off the podcast, he can share some stories with you about that. But yeah, no, I think what I know, I shouldn't say I think, I know in any leadership position, you got to be a truth teller. And while being a truth teller, you're trying to do your very best to help everybody around you too. And so that's where it's coming from when I talk with Zach. And Zach, the beauty of Zach LaVine, because look, he's a tremendous talent, which we all know. He doesn't want to have his NBA career end and he be looked at as a guy who never won. You know, so now, okay, let's take on the challenge. Okay, what can you do? What can we do as a group and organization to help change that for you? And so that means, you know, there's things he's going to have to do a little bit better and change. And the things that we have to do as an organization to help him get there. So that's where we're in a great place with him. Zach has been tremendous to work with this offseason. And I'm really excited to watch him and see the adjustments that he makes this year in terms of tackling that issue that you just brought up.
Yeah, Zach is a class act. You know, I had him on this show many years ago. Did an interview with him and my friends at New Balance who work with him as well. All have great things to say about him. But it just shows that, you know, you said all of these positive things as well in that episode where you were speaking about him, but it was just the one kind of sentence that got clipped out and went viral. So I hope you guys know now to be careful in your interviews that anything can be taken out of context. You guys have got years of preparation now. You came to the Kings already media trained. How about
Absolutely. Well, Mo, we have a great in-house teacher in yourself, you know.
I try my best.
You brought up
I try my best. I try my best, you know.
Exactly.
You know, with obviously Coach Sir being on this show, we talk a lot about the importance of coaching, and you guys have cemented Doug Christie as the head coach that's gonna lead this group moving forwards. You know, that decision there, because when a new GM comes in, oftentimes they can clear house of the people that were there before them and implement whole new stuff. But talk us through that decision of keeping Doug and the vision that you have with him.
But the fortunate thing for me and us in the organization is that I had a relationship with Doug Christie from the previous time that I was here in Sacramento as executive VP under Vlade Divac. So got a chance to spend time with Doug those few months as I was here, and he was actually working in the media, but we spent a lot of time talking basketball and just learning the person. And that's a big thing for me too, is the character of the person. Okay, the skill set aside of can the guy coach and all that, that's important obviously, but the quality of man is important to me too. So I knew that about Doug from the start. And so when I got here, I had a number of conversations with him, and I had some outside interests as well, but I was able to really look at the job he had done as the interim coach the prior season. The guy had a winning record. He was 27 and 24 in a very difficult circumstance here. Told me a lot. I really like his presence, his leadership ability. And one of the important things, I know Coach Sir can relate to this, and BJ knows it because he's been here working with Doug now. Doug is very inquisitive. He's not one of these coaches think that he has all the answers. He's always trying to learn. And then he's very passionate. We've used that term a lot on this podcast. And so that passion comes through when he's talking to whether it's his fellow coaches or the players. And I think that type of energy and that type of leadership can be very infectious and have a chance to what we want to build here eventually is a sustainable winner. We don't want to just to appear on the radar one year and then disappear. We want to become a sustainable winner. So his willingness to want to learn and grow and keep seeking knowledge from whatever space it may be, that's going to bode well for him as a coach individually and us as an organization.
Coach Sir, you are known for coaching the coaches through your coaching
You
university. I wanted to get
exactly
your take on Mr. Doug
exactly
Christie.
I am undefeated on coaching coaches.
Coaching,
I
exactly.
haven't lost a game. Yeah, when I went and saw Doug play for me in Toronto, so I've known him. I loved him as a player, but when I got to visit him out in Vegas with Scott and BJ, the thing that he has, you know, if you had to put a thing together on coaches, football, and ironically, BJ, Scott, and I are probably, I am bigger football. I am no more about football coaching than I do basketball coaching. And the reason is because I study football coaches because they are the best coaches out there. Doug has about four of the main characteristics to be a star. Number one, he has leadership. And the leadership in pro football, pro basketball, is you got to be a guy that can stand in front of your group, your team, and talk to them with courage. And not be afraid, as Scott said earlier, to be a truth teller. Number two, he's got competence because players are, they can tell right away if you know what the hell you're doing. And number three, he's got huge credibility. You know, he was a, not a good player. He was a terrific player and at both ends. And the fourth thing is the ability, this is what separates guys at the NBA level, is he has the ability to connect with people at an amazing level. And as Scott said, he's got that now, that thing of the inquisitiveness. To be a really good coach and sustain it, you have to keep learning. And every job we have. And he has that. He just wants to be so good. And that's why I think he's a rising star. I think he's really gonna be good. And I think it was an unbelievable decision because, you know, it's, colleges don't know how to pick a coach because athletic directors don't know how to pick a coach because they're not usually basketball or football guys. They're fundraisers or whatever. And pro teams, it's 50-50 whether they know what they're doing. Scott, being a basketball guy, a former coach, knew what he wanted in there. There's not a lot of those people that were that. So I think, you know, they, you know, he's an exceptional guy that people maybe don't know it, but they will in years to go. And I think he's going to sustain his excellence. I really do. I think he's going to be a difference maker.
Well, we've all heard many, many episodes of BJ talking about the importance of coaching and teachers of the game. But our long-term listeners will know that BJ Armstrong once dubbed himself as the point guard guru. So I wanted to ask him, you know,
Not when he was playing for me, he didn't. Kidding, kidding, kidding,
Hey,
kidding.
I was gonna say, do tell, Brendan, do tell. Come on.
He kicked Isaiah's ass many nights. I will say that. I will say that.
So, Mr. Armstrong, being the Yoda of point guards, as it were, you know, we've got to talk about a key addition you made to the roster in Mr. Dennis Schroeder coming over. Because when we spoke about the Kings before you guys were involved in the franchise, we often spoke about the lack of a true point guard, a point guard that can perhaps play downhill. And obviously, you guys had that with De'Aaron Fox, who was no longer there by the time you guys took over. But you went in, brought in Dennis Schroeder over the course of the summer. What did you see in Dennis, BJ? I know you're a big fan of him and he's a proven winner, being a world champion. But talk to us about adding Dennis Schroeder to the point guard position.
Well, when we all came in and Scott and we sat down with our staff and kind of addressed, you know, what's going to be needed to have a, you know, a team that we can play a certain brand of basketball that we thought would give us the best opportunity to compete every night. It's very, very tough to win in this league. And Mo, you said it, you know, you have to be able to play downhill. You have to be able to play at a pace and have the leadership where you can distribute the ball, play screen role, you know, to maximize your talent. And after going through many of meetings, you know the vibes, and you know saying that many a time. And we identified some players who we thought who can actually do that. And we were very fortunate to have an opportunity to get a player of Dennis Schroeder's caliber. We were very, very fortunate that he became available at that time. And we just came back from, we were in Finland. We were watching him play, and he's playing terrific in the FIBA, the championships there now. And the thing that stood out about him is one is his toughness. And, you know, he's a tough kid. He plays on both ends of the court. And, you know, I learned this from Coach Sir, you have to be able to control the ball on the defensive end if you're going to have a shot to compete every night, right? We would love to shoot a high percentage every night, but that's probably unlikely that you'll shoot, but you can defend. You can get up. And you saw that this year in the finals where both teams extended for 94 feet. And so we feel real good about what we're continuing to build here. And to have a player like Dennis and so, you know, Coach Sir, I mean, Coach Sir, Coach Christie and I were over there. We watched them. And one of the things that, you know, yeah, I've listened to you guys talk about Doug. And one of the things really stood out about him as we were there for like a week or so, is Doug loves players. He loves the game, but he really loves players. And if I was a young player today, I want to play. I would love to play for Coach Christie because he loves players and he just instills confidence. I mean, you know, if you ask him a question, he'll start coaching. He'll just start coaching. He loves players, and it was just a treat. We had one of the great dinners with Dennis. We went out to dinner and we just talked basketball. And we're Doug's drawing up plays and Dennis is talking. So that's one of the things that, you know, we value with Dennis. Dennis loves the game. And we're continuing to add people, and you talk to DeMar and Zach, and as Scott and I, you know, here in the building, we have a group that these guys like to play. And so we're really excited to see where this goes this year. And we're just excited to, you know, continue to build on it. But, you know, Dennis is, we feel, is going to be one of those players that's going to allow us to extend our defense, do some things offensively, play downhill, and, you know, and I think with the other players, we got a chance.
I want to know if the man known as Parking Lot Perry ever descends down from his office to coach the guys on extending their range.
I forgot. I haven't heard that in so long, though.
I
Parking
know. I
lot.
forgot about
I forgot about
that.
Parking lot, Perry.
Mo, not often, Mo. I've been up top a lot, but once the season starts, I Parking lot pair make his way down the
If
court
I see
before.
any Kings player shooting from the logo, I know where they got it from. You know,
I don't even know what to say. I'm just not, I'm trying to be
I'm
professional
Steve
here,
Sirk.
but I can't contain
You
it.
know, what's funny is like all the new listeners, like any Kings fans who have not listened to the show before, they're now hearing all these jokes and references that we've been building up over the course of years doing the show today.
Exactly.
They're not going to have a clue why we're laughing so much. So,
Exactly. Hey, well, probably what's going to happen, I'm going to get some of these questions on Media Day now, Mo. Thanks to you. Exactly.
Mo doesn't care because he just wants listeners. He doesn't care where
Exactly.
I can't dispute that, Coach. I can't dispute that.
Exactly. Do that.
You know, you've got BJ, you mentioned Zach and DeMar. You also got Domantas Sabonis as well. You've got three players who have been around the league for a long time now. You know, they're going to have a whole training camp together with the new guys so that they can kind of guide them as well, share some of that experience. How valuable is that having three core veterans on your roster that are able to help the new crop of players that you're bringing in and developing?
Well, you mentioned Sabonis, and I mean, you know, over the summer he looked fantastic. I mean, he's ready to go. I mean, he's locked in. He's a pro's pro. I mean, he's an all-star caliber player, and continuing to develop, and what he's developing into as a player, and he looked fantastic. You know, DeMar, what can you say? I mean, he's, you know, anything in the mid-range and what he's able to do, and just his leadership just showing up in the summer, being able to be available so that our young players can see what a player of that caliber, along with Zach and what these guys do and how they approach their craft. And it was just fantastic to see. And then I'm telling you, you know, Keegan, we're looking for him to also step in, Keegan Murray, to come in and step in and continue to grow as well. So, you know, we got a good mixture of guys and vets, and our veteran leadership has been fantastic. It's how they've taken to the young players. You know, we've had some conditioning things that we've been able to do, and these guys show up and display that. You know, we'll see the things on the court, but it's the things behind the scene, in the weight room, the conditioning, and the camaraderie we're continuing to build. Just going out to dinner and all of these things that we're building here. And we talked about culture and all those things. So we're continuing to every single day just to stack these days up day by day and continue to build. And these guys are down here working out now as we're doing this podcast. So it's been great to see. But, you know, those guys have been fantastic, our leaders, our veterans. And yeah, because you're going to need veteran leadership if you're going to get through an 82-game schedule and beyond.
That's gonna be extremely important that our veterans, they've dug off to a very good start, but now when this regular season starts, they have to even ramp their leadership skills up. And they've got to be the ones that, and as coach, everybody knows on this call, no matter if you got a good team or the worst team in the league, it doesn't matter. There's gonna be adversity that hits during the year. And that's where it's gonna test your leadership. And all of our answers have to be in-house. Inside, we got to take care of ourselves, own it, be accountable, and we work together to get out of whatever adversity that we're bound to face during the year. So those guys that BJ mentioned are going to be important in helping us do that.
You know, Scott, you gave us the philosophy that you have for the culture that you're building there, but do you guys, along with Coach Christie, have a on the court philosophy? Because, you know, the Kings' most successful time in recent years, the one season where they, you know, kind of had a really successful run, got back to the playoffs, they were playing at a very high pace. I know that's something that BJ in particular is very, very important on. But what's your philosophy on the court and how you want the guys to play?
Well, we talked a lot about, and Coach Sir will love this, and this is in line with him. But you got to be able to defend first. We've got to create a culture here that we can defend the basketball. And so, you talked about the summer league team, and that was our challenge to the young group, even though it's summer league, but to establish how we want to play. And if you notice, we really extended the floor. We picked up defensively. We used the entire court defensively, and allowed our defense to create offensive opportunities. So the better that we can defend, the more effective we're going to be offensively, we believe, because it allows us to play at a higher pace. That's who Doug was as a player. He loves it, embraces it. And so that's, I think, what you're going to see from us this year, and we're going to be trying to play to that style and each and every day. And it'll take time to build it, but we'll have the necessary perseverance and patience to get there and do that. So Mo, when you end the show now, I'm gonna give you this. Now, I know we're not ending right now, but you know how you always used to say, until next time, get buckets. The new ending now has to be, all right, you ready? You ready for this, Mo?
Go
All right, get stops. And then let's go get
ahead.
buckets. Let's go get buckets. Get stopped, and then let's go get
Is
buckets.
that how
All
you end
right,
your meetings over there as well?
exactly. Let's get stops, and then go get buckets. That's gonna be
I would
that.
like to know because you know, there was a clip, you know, we spoke about some viral clips of the show that have happened before. There was a clip that went super, super viral to tens of millions of people of Mr. Armstrong and his take on the modern NBA and the influence of analytics and how everyone just wants to shoot threes. Scott, how terrified was your analytics department when you said you were bringing BJ to the team?
Can I give a facial expression, Mo? I don't know if I can imitate
Go
the facial expression. No,
ahead.
but you know, Mo, the beauty and the irony of it is the analytics guys won't leave BJ's office and he won't leave theirs. They're together all the time. That's the beauty of it. That's the great thing about it. And that's what I'm excited about, what we're building here as an organization. And in particular, now we're talking about, front office connectivity, is that everybody's learning from everyone. Our analytics group is tapping into BJ's wealth of basketball knowledge as a player and executive and agent. And BJ is tapping into their expertise about analytics. And what we're trying to get, and what we're going to get to, is that we're always working together, and you want your analytics group to enhance your ability, enhance your information in a way that's going to help you win basketball games. So we'll cut out all the noise, and let's get as basketball centric as we can, and get those numbers that are important to winning, and make sure that we start showing up well in those areas analytically. But you would enjoy it. I'll go next door and I say, "Where's BJ? Can't find him. He's all the way at the other end of the hall. He's down there with the
I can't wait for the
analytics
day. I can't wait for the day BJ
Exactly.
calls me talking about efficiency ratings and real box plus minus. I can't wait. I
Exactly.
can't wait. Trust me. But a player you mentioned just earlier on, BJ, is Keegan Murray, right? And when he came into the league as a rookie, he was shooting the lights out. He had an electric rookie campaign. In the 2 seasons since then, we've seen him kind of shoot less threes, and in turn, his efficiency's kind of dipped. Is that something we can expect moving forwards of him getting back to that prolific shooting that he showcased he has the ability to do?
Well, he certainly has the talent and the capability to do that. And he's shown that he is a really, really good player and can play at a very high level here. So this year, I'm really expecting him to play and to really showcase what he can do, not only as an offensive player, which we're discussing, or you mentioned what he can do from the 3-point line, but to begin and to expand his game. Can he develop a little post game? Can he begin to get to the free throw line 4 or 5, 6 times a game? Can he continue to expand in what he's going to do as a defensive player? We think he has the capability to be an all-defensive player. He gives excellent effort. He has size. He has length. And he's going to continue to grow. So we're really looking and encouraging him to be the best version of himself. And he's a fantastic kid. He's a worker. I mean, he was just here. Just a week ago, he's getting married. I believe he's getting married today or this weekend
Today,
here. So yeah, he's getting
congratulations,
married.
today, the
Yeah,
fifth. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
getting
Shout out to
married.
Keegan
And, yeah, shout out to him.
and his
So
wife.
he's a young player, and it doesn't hurt. He's a University of Iowa grad, in the Big Ten. So
Is it?
you got to go
Oh
ahead and
no!
so you know
Oh
I
no!
so he's
No!
go Hawkeyes, go Hawkeyes. So
Well, at least you know he's sensible because he's 25 and getting married. Here I am, 30 still. We ain't gonna get into
Exactly. So yeah, so but
that.
we're excited about Keegan, and you never know when these players are going to take a jump, right? And you've seen it from time to time where there's Anthony Edwards and a plethora of other young players, but Keegan has the capability, and we're looking to expand, and we're encouraging him to expand. And so Doug has, I think, and his staff have great plans for him and how they're going to utilize him this year. So we're looking forward to him, along with others, to continue to grow and figure out how to bring this thing together.
Some great basketball minds have told me there's only three ways to improve. You've got free agency, you've got trades, but you've got or 4 ways even. You've got to draft, and then the fourth way is development from within. So two other players you guys have at the guard positions in Keon Ellis and Devin Carter. What have you seen from those guys? I want to make sure we talk about all the guys on your roster. So what have you seen from those guys that's really impressed you?
Hardworking guys. You talk about both their journeys a little bit different. I believe Keon Ellis was an undrafted player who was that came here, made his way, and became a starter for this Kings team prior to us getting here. Tremendous attitude, has good defensive versatility on the perimeter, has improved his ability to shoot. So he conducts himself as a pro. Again, those six values that we talk about, he is a guy that exhibits those, lives by those, and embraces those. And then Devin Carter, who was the lottery pick for the Kings just a year ago, battled a lot of injuries last year, has really started to come on with his work and developing. He's been in the gym a lot here this summer, getting into much better condition. That's one of the challenges that we have, not only for him, but this entire team. We want to be an elite conditioned team. And so the closer that Devin gets to that, the more you're going to get a chance to see what he can do. He can defend the basketball on the perimeter. He has speed with it on the offensive end, where he can get to the rim and finish. But he's still a developing player. He's still a player that has to, he's still trying to find his way. And we believe the best way he's going to get there is just, again, through hard work and being in that elite condition, so he can become one of the better on-ball defenders in the perimeter in the league. He has that potential to do that, but he's got to be in a great enough shape to do that. And then just continue to get a little better offensively, again, attacking the rim. And in today's game, ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter. He's spending a lot of time on that, trying to develop his jump shot, and he's making those incremental steps to get better there.
Coach, sir, what did you make of Isaac Jones, one of the standout players of the Summer League?
I just loved the way he played big in the summer league, and he was a dominant guy in the summer. A, he's got good hands. He caught the ball and he could finish around the basket with either hand. But he played hard, played a lot of minutes in the game, which I like. But more importantly, in the summer league, he played, the th simple things I look at is he played to win. And, a lot of veteran, and he's not a veteran, I mean, but he was on the team last year. They come in, they just think, they're going out there to do what they're supposed to do. He came out there to get better, and he did. And I think he really established himself as a guy that the 29 other teams say that guy can play in the league. And that's a damn big thing nowadays because there's so few spots on teams. I think it's a really important step for him. He's coming into camp, I think, in a really good mind space. That would be my guess.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. But just watching him work post summer league, it really energized him. And he too is another one that challenged to get in much better shape. And he's doing that. He's spending extra time doing that because as an undersized big, that's going to be important for him to be in that elite condition where he can run all day and utilize his length and ability to finish around the rim. So he's doing a very nice job in this offseason.
Yeah, there's a few other guys we need to talk about, but we'll get to them on another episode, perhaps, because I don't want to keep you guys too long. I know BJ want to get back to the analytics department and
But
Scott's
exactly.
but I wanted to ask you this. It's all well and good saying, we just want to compete and we just want to play hard. But do you guys have a goal in mind for this team this season? Or is it more of a long-term 3, 4, 5 year plan? But for this season, do you have a goal of we want to make the play in, we want to make the playoffs, we want to advance this far in the in-season tournament? What's the expectation for this group?
No, Mo, and again, this is not wordsmithing at all. No, the goal this year really is establishing that identity. We want to play and compete our butts off 82 nights out the year, and we'll live with the results. So if that is good enough to be a playoff team, fantastic. If it puts us at less than that or play in or whatever, we'll live with that. But we have to establish who we're going to be. That's so important. We got to make teams feel us when they play against us, and that's a terminology you hear a lot about football too. You got to make people. They got yeah, right. You got to make them feel us, and so if we'll get that accomplished this season, that when they play the Sacramento Kings, win, lose, or draw, they felt us. Okay, we're heading in the right direction because that will be the foundation to becoming a sustainable winner.
I hope there's plenty more wins because I want to come out there and light the beam for myself. So
Oh,
I hope you guys get that ring.
my God.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna come visit
Yeah,
you
we got
guys.
next week. Gonna come visit some more.
We can come
It's all
visit.
about Mo. It's all about Mo.
Well, it's my world. This is I'm just messing.
I just want to be able to get into a game. You want to light the damn beam. All right,
Oh,
I'll
hell
tell
yeah.
you.
Hey, you're lucky I'm not asking for a two-way contract.
Exactly.
You might be getting the one
Hey,
out.
just give me a
Mo,
10-day.
Mo, I gotta say something. No, I'm used to you on the show. You used to always have Celtic jerseys and hoodies and all like that. But if I'm look and I'm looking at my watch here, it must be about 7 o'clock London time right now. Okay. And it's Friday night. I know you ready to get off the podcast. You look like you're getting ready to go somewhere. The way you dress, you see the shirt on, BJ? See, he didn't think we noticed that. He didn't think we saw that. But he's club ready. I see that
And just a little dinner,
now.
just nothing crazy, nothing crazy, nothing crazy, nothing crazy.
That's a hell of a scout right there. That is a good
Absolutely,
scout.
absolutely.
That is experienced scout right there.
Absolutely.
I completely, that's throwing me off. I don't even remember the next question I was going
Exactly.
to ask. That's when you
You
get the
could
hell off the
be
air.
slipping.
That's when you know where to
Exactly.
go.
This is This is what I learned from
Interesting
Scott. This is what I learned from Scott. If you don't see me,
segue.
don't look for me.
Look for me.
That's been the story all summer. Everyone's been messaging me, "Where's the podcast? Where's the podcast coming back?" I said, "Hey, if you don't see me,
See me.
don't look.
Don't look
I've
for
been putting in work
the
this summer. Just know."
It's
Gentlemen, I really do appreciate you guys taking the time
Oh,
to join us on the show. Again, I want to congratulate you, and I want to thank you both because you'd never had to spend so much of your time talking to me and doing the show for our audience over here. I speak on behalf of the audience when I say we are truly grateful to you both for blessing us with so much wisdom over the years. We're also truly grateful for Coach Sir, who, if you guys didn't know, is going to be joining me on the Hoop Genius podcast for the upcoming season.
Oh,
We're going to have a
no.
few surprises in store, a few more
Oh.
announcements, but just stay tuned because there's a lot on the way. And you might even catch a live episode direct from Sacramento where me and Coach Sir will be in town.
Oh, a little teaser, a little
I can tease it, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I
Break
mean?
breaking news.
News to
Okay,
me.
exactly.
News to me.
Hey, don't worry. Coach, you're on the team now. Wherever I go, you go.
Hey,
You roll as a squad now.
Scott and BJ, anytime when you're a coach and anyone puts the word genius hoop or genius next to it, you sign up right away because that's the last thing they ever call you as a coach, right? Yeah. So, genius, sure, I'm in.
Listen, fellas, it has been an absolute pleasure. Do you guys have anything you want to share with the audience that we have that have gotten to know you guys so well over the last few years?
I'm gonna let BJ go.
I just want to say thank you, Mo. It was truly a pleasure. It was a pleasure, all of the things. I couldn't stop laughing here of just thinking of all of the, years and things and shows and all of the crazy things that we've done. And it was a pleasure. I want to thank the audience. I'm gonna miss them. The questions and all of the things that we've done over the years. Then we were fortunate enough, Scott joined in, Coach Sir joined in, and all of the things and all of the things that we did, Mo. Just going all the way back when we were in the studio, so forth and so on. So thank you. We'll be watching now. We'll be watching now, Mo. Just because of
Exactly.
that, Mo, we won't be on. We'll be
If
watching.
watching, oh yeah.
And we'll be watching. And you guys are invited. And I know you are a Celtics fan. I know you are, but you know what, Mo? Now you got to be a King fan.
This
And
is my team in the West. This is my team in the West now.
now we got to make sure we send Mo some gear
Yes,
so
we
that
do.
when he does
Yes, we
some show,
do.
when he gets on and Coach Sir as well, then make
Yes.
sure that when they talk about the Sacramento
Yeah.
Kings, you can represent the Sacramento Kings. And I want to thank you
Oh.
too, Mo and BZ, for allowing me to come on and crash the party that 1 year, the year and a half I was with you guys on the podcast. It was a ton of fun, extremely helpful to me in so many ways that we don't have time to even talk about here right now. But I'm happy for you. I appreciate the listening audience here. Great. Shout out to my man Bart. Is Bart still around?
Yes, of
He
course.
was
He's
about Bart. He
part
said
of the
yes, but
team. He's part of the team for
is Bart
life.
still there? Right. So you make sure you shout out to Bart. He was awesome. But always take care of me with clips and things of that nature. But wish you nothing but the best. And we look forward to seeing you out here in Sacramento. And
Yes, yes.
yeah. Speaking
And
of,
please,
that'll
we
be
would
great.
love for you guys. That's what I do. We got to get both of you guys out. That would be great. And
Speaking of crashing the party, though. Scott, I need to try the fried catfish you keep talking about.
that's right. Well, you let me know when you come, and you got to give me enough lead time.
Absolutely.
We'll find some cat. We're fighting some catfish,
And
Mo.
I have some
Exactly.
I actually have something else to share with you guys. Scott, you said you
Okay.
guys have got to send me some gear. Well, since you were last on the show, I'm down about 70 pounds now. So you don't send me the double XL anymore because I
All
slimmed
right.
down
Okay.
just a
So,
little bit.
you need a medium now? Are you asking for
I ain't no small man. Come on now. We added muscle. We ain't slimmed out that much, but I just don't need the double XL. Give me the large on the XL. But
That's sad. Okay.
I
All
wanted to share this. I wanted to
right.
share this because it's one of my favorite stories, right? the day that I knew that I had to make a change in my lifestyle, BJ and I were covering the finals. We were flying between San Francisco and Boston, and we had an early flight, like 6 a.m., whatever. BJ gets to the airport, and I'm having my breakfast in the airport. I got Dunkin' Donuts. You know, I'm in Boston. Boston runs on Dunkin'. BJ walks up to me. He looks at me, looks at a donut, shakes his head, and just walks onto the plane. He didn't say a word. And that was the day I knew I got to sort my life out. So, BJ, my health is forever indebted to you, sir.
We just want you to be the best version of yourself, you
I'm
know?
trying.
And we want you to be the best version. So you look great. I'll be seeing you guys out here, Mo. And when you come out, Mo, you can like the beam. How about that?
Absolutely.
How about this?
That's on
How
record
about
now. That's on record now. So,
you might never leave.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate all three of you so much. Thank you for taking the time to do this special edition episode. To all of our listeners, all four of us here, we really appreciate you guys rocking with us, showing so much support and so much love all of the time, every day, supporting what we do. It wouldn't be possible without you. And the reason we do it is for you guys. The reason why BJ and Scott wanted to do the show was to share their knowledge of the game and their wisdom with the basketball fans out there, because we saw a gap in the market where not many people out there were doing analysis of games and basketball discussions that were actually insightful and about the game itself. So before I go off on a tangent about ESPN, let me end that there and say like, comment, and subscribe. And now, get stops and then go get buckets.
Exactly.